I know as growing and developing as a believer, it's wonderful when you get in the presence of other fellow believers in Messiah. Because many times you don't know each other, but you just sense God's Spirit in one another, and what a great thing that is. To know that the Comforter that was promised by Yeshua dwells in all of God's people. All part of the extended family of God. All beautiful and unique. God has created each and every one of us. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. This week's message is entitled, Yeshua Reveals Who Shall Be First in God's Kingdom. And you know, as I've been doing this series here, as Yeshua has been going toe-to-toe with the head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers, many of us would perceive that when he looks at them, he's looking at them in disgust, disappointment, and just plain anger. But I really believe what these individuals were seeing was the very compassion of Almighty God. Because here were blind guides, all right? And they believed in the depth of their heart that they were following, and they were honoring Abba, Father God. And think of Shaul, Saul of Tarsus. He was at that place in his life. He truly, fully believed that what he was doing was God's will. And so I believe when Yeshua is sharing these words with these individuals, if they were to look into his eyes, they would not see anger or disappointment, but they would see compassion. Because if you think for 1 second, who is it who formed and shaped us in our mother's womb? But it was Yeshua. The scripture says that he created all things. And just think about that. He had foreknowledge of which of these individuals who were standing before him would receive the good news that he was proclaiming to them. And there must be an ache in his heart in knowing that some of these individuals will not choose to go the way that the Father had been preparing for him to share for them to go. So when you think from that context, as we go into the scripture now, you see that our Redeemer came to do what? To share the love of God and reveal the Father's heart. So now turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to go back here a little bit into verse 23. Because the Lord, what he's been having me do is to break this up, because there's great significance in all these parts. But if you just simply break them up and start at that point, you don't get the full understanding of what has been taking place here. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Yeshua went into the temple area, and as he was teaching, the head kohenim and the elders of the people approached him and demanded, "What shmikah do you have that authorizes you to do these things? And who gave you this shmikah?" Shmikah is an ordination. It is the authority to judge things and put things rightly. Verse 24, and Yeshua answered, "I too will ask you a question, and if you will answer it, then I will tell you what shmikah I do these things. The immersion of Yohanan, where did it come from heaven or from a human source?" They discussed it among themselves. They said, "If we say from heaven, he will say, then why don't you believe him? But if we say from a human source, we're afraid of the people, for they all regard Yohanan as a prophet." So they answered Yeshua, "We do not know." Think of that statement right there. We do not know. This is the head high priest of all Israel. And he's saying, "I do not know whether Yohanan is a false prophet or a true prophet." And what was his job? To be the shepherd of the house of Israel, to watch over them, and to point out to them, as he heard the words from these prophets, whether they are proclaiming God's kingdom or not. And here's the leaders, the elders of Israel, and they say, "We do not know." And Yeshua replied, "Then I will not tell you by what shmikah I do these things. But give me your opinion." See, now Yeshua, he's now placed them in their rightful place. Because you know what? He's been proclaiming to the people that he is the Mashiach, he is the Messiah, with these signs and wonders that he's been doing up to this point. So now he turns the tables on them and he says to them, because you know, right now they're kind of backed up to the wall and they're feeling ashamed, because this is not in private quarters that they're having this discussion. This is in the temple courts where there are thousands upon thousands of people who are hearing what's going on here. All right? And so he then says to them, "But give me your opinion." All right? He's now being diplomatic. All right? He's asking them, because you know what? They had preconceived ideas in their minds. All right? And they thought Yeshua came here to debate with them. But what he truly desired to do was to reveal truth to them and bring them back to Abba, Father God. And so he says these words, "But give me your opinion. A man had two sons, and he went to the first and he said to him, 'Go and work today in the vineyard.' He answered the son, 'I do not want to.' But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to his other son and said the same thing. This one answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted?" And I know the scripture goes quickly there, but I believe right now they're kind of examining this, because you know what? Yeshua has just put them in their place, and then he gives them an opportunity here to redeem themselves, all right? And so that what they say there, the first, they replied. Yeshua says, "That's right." And he said to them, "I tell you now," now he brings back to the reality of the situation, "the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of Abba, Father God, ahead of you." That is a very cold slap in the face, all right? And Yeshua is not doing it from a debate standpoint. He's not trying to show his authority and power over them. But he's letting them know, just like this. If you knew that the bridge near where you live was out, okay, and it's stormy out and it's dark, and you've been notified that the bridge has washed out because of a flood, and you see your neighbor get into their vehicle, all right, they load up the family, they load up the grandchildren, okay, and they start going past your house, are you going to stand there and just wave to them and smile? Or are you going to go up to them, flag them down your best ability, and say, "Hey, I've just been told that the bridge has the flood has taken out the bridge," all right? That's what Yeshua is doing here. He gives this cold slap in the face to them so they'll realize where their standing is. Because you know what they believe? Well, I am the high priest of Israel. I'm an elder of Israel. Surely I'm saved when I have my different spices that come up. I divide them. I count out the seeds from that harvest. Of the 100, I take my time and I separate that 10 and I give it to the Lord. I do all these things, all these surface things. Surely I'm saved. And think about whose these words are coming from. The very one who has a following of many tax collectors and prostitutes, former here, okay? And it's undeniable to them, because you know one of the 12 that's standing next to Yeshua is a former tax collector. And many of us forget this, but tax collectors were traitors to Israel. Why? They were working for the Romans, okay? And not only they would take the allotted tax that was to be rendered to pay the taxes to Rome, the occupiers, but also they would go and they would just embellish upon that, and he asked for even more. You know? Because, you know, Rome was constantly changing the amount that was owed. And so those people would believe what the tax collector told them. And so here was one standing there. And just think about this. What book of the good news are we reading from right now? Matthew. The literal traitor of Israel, okay? And so the high priest knows Matthew, okay? The elders know who he is and what former occupation he had 3 years ago. But now they see the change in his life. And they see these women who are following Yeshua. Not all of them were prostitutes, but there were some, okay? And with that, he sees the change in life. And it's undeniable to them, okay? So continuing here. For Yohanan came to you showing the paths to righteousness, and you would not trust him. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, they trusted him. But you, even after you saw this, what is this? The repentance and the changed lives. All right?
The healings too.
That's right. The healings too. And so continuing here. This did not change your minds later to trust Yohanan. So, now going into commentary. One son talked the talk, and the other son walked the walk, according to the parable. Yeshua asked, which of the two did the father's will? So the good news here is shared in short, but a powerful parable. To an audience of talkers, okay? Right? That's what they were, the Pharisees. Yeshua said, talk is cheap. Have we not heard that in our own ways and lives? Yeshua is in the temple area in Jerusalem, and he has not come to find favor with the religious movers and shakers of that city. Yeshua is sent by Abba, Father God, to bring revelation of Abba, Father God, and to put everything in its proper order. See, these blind guides had been blinded. And Yeshua, out of his compassion, wanted to bring them back into the fold. So it is painful to have someone you trust and tell you that they're going to do something for you, and they don't, right? Back to the parable there. Many of us can tell stories about people who have let us down by making promises, then not following up on them. Have you not found that in your own life? Absolutely. There were times when my parents promised me things, and they were not able to deliver, right? Those things happen, and I had to grow up as a young man because of that. Life teaches us to be wary of certain people, does it not? And it's lessons I've learned many times the hard way, in trusting people to the nth degree. These people included not just blatant liars, but those who are all talk with no follow-through. Have you ever heard the saying, a promise is made and is a debt unpaid? A promise is made is yet a debt unpaid, right? Surely I'll go and do that for you. And when time comes, sometimes they do not show up. We expect family and friends to keep their word and come through for us when we have a pressing need, do we not? But sometimes they don't. When a friend disappoints us, sometimes we don't become very terribly upset, but sometimes we do. When someone close to us makes a promise, then fails to fulfill it, we are blindsided by it because we do not see it coming. At the same time, we must acknowledge that there have been times when we have made promises, if we're going to really be honest, and we have not kept them. There might also have been times when, in order to avoid discomfort or confrontation, we were giving half-hearted yes to people, to someone or something which we never planned to follow up on, right? Just to look good, because we're in the crowd of people, right? And it's better to say yes to save your reputation in front of people, but then later, what happens? The truth comes out. So continuing, whether we have been on the receiving end of broken promises or have been giving a half-hearted investment of ourselves to the commitments we have made, we are in need of healing. And the challenge of the word of Abba, Father God, today offers this to us. So the head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers were upset. And they wanted to know who gave Yeshua this shmikah. That is the authority to do what he did. Some of them were corrupt. Not all. Some of them were. And they wanted Abba, Father God, to play by their rules. Have you ever met religious leaders that are that way? They want to give the interpretation of how things are to be. And they even expect God to follow their rules. And they insisted that Abba, Father God's prophets must make the same distinctions that they make, or decisions, you see? Because Yeshua knew this. They did not receive Yohanan. Why? Because he was asking the nation as a whole to go through what? Seasons of repentance. And to go through the washing waters of the mikvah. To prepare their hearts and minds for the coming of the Lord. Like Yohanan, Yeshua teaches that Abba, Father God's freedom includes the freedom to forgive those who are not the children by blood of the covenant, those on the outside, who haven't offered sacrifice, even the poor person's sacrifice of a dove in the temple, who hadn't done anything to deserve forgiveness. Yeshua's actions in the temple area not only broke down all the powerful connection between money and religion, they also freely heal and forgive those who were perceived as cursed. Remember the beginning of this chapter? It was the blind and the lame that were not even in the temple courts. Why? Because they believed in their heart of hearts and they were taught. The reason why you're blind and lame is because you've been cursed by God. So continuing here, those who are perceived as under punishment, those who need some serious blood atonement, Yeshua desired to redirect the tradition of Israel away from ritual legalism. And there are many Christian people today who are now adopting a new type of Torah, and they're going under legalism. God does not desire legalism. He desires relationship and for us to have our hearts circumcised. That we would walk in the Torah that he revealed to us to walk therein. So Yeshua desired to redirect the tradition of Israel away from ritual legalism and a dominant priesthood toward a more meaningful trust by an individual in the graciousness and forgiving love of Abba, Father God. Because prior to God giving through Yeshua Torah on Mount Sinai to Moses, the nation of Israel was to be what? A nation of kings and priests. They were all to have access to Abba, Father God, through Yeshua. So continuing here, Yeshua's actions are now like a knife in the heart of sacrificial religion. And they challenge the ultimate structure that they were the so-called authorities. Like Yeshua, we too are called by Abba, Father God, to engage in acts of conscience. Acts that defy authorities and challenge their right to exist as authorities. We may end up paying the price that Yeshua did, but we will also have the chance to turn the questions around on our accusers back upon themselves in the hopes that they may see and repent. See what it's all about? Is repentance and being reconciled to God. We know that the answer to the head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers question, but they did not. We know that Abba, Father God, gave Yeshua the Shemitah, which is the authority. The head kohenim and the elders were spiritual leaders of Israel, and they could not believe that Yeshua's Shemitah, his authority, was greater than theirs. You see? Their eyes were upon themselves. They forgot that Abba, Father God, is the ultimate authority, and he is the one who has given us Torah. The Purushim, the Pharisees, expanded on the Ten Commandments with all their rules and regulations because they were obsessed with not breaking any of the Ten Commandments. So the Purushim, the Pharisees, considered themselves to be so righteous that they thought they were doing Abba, Father God's work. Just as I shared earlier about Saul of Tarsus. What happened had to happen. Yeshua had to reveal himself on the way to Damascus. And what did Rav Shaul see? It was daytime. He saw the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory of the Lord. You know what it caused? It caused him to be blinded. And then he heard a voice from heaven that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said to him, "Who are you, Adonai?" He said, "I am Yeshua." And you read the rest in the book of Acts. And that was the state that these lost blind guides were before Yeshua at this time. He desired repentance upon their hearts. You know what? If you study the scripture, you will learn that some of the Pharisees and some of the Sanhedrin, some of these leaders of Israel, the elders of Israel, came and they received Yeshua's testimony because they received it by looking in his eyes and seeing the compassion and the love that came from Abba, Father God. So continuing here, the Pharisees considered themselves to be so righteous that they thought they were doing Abba, Father God's work. But Yeshua pointed out in the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, 23 through 32, that they were sadly mistaken. But Yeshua uses now that trick question to teach the head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers about the kingdom of Abba, Father God. You see, they were living examples of the second son in the parable, where he said, "Yes, sir," right? "I'll go and do it," but he never went. Self-righteous, the ones who always gave the appearance of serving Abba, Father God, they followed all the minute religious rules, rules about what they should eat, what they should wear, and how they should pray. But when it came to the issues like loving their neighbor or showing kindness to the poor or showing compassion to the lowly, they never showed up at the vineyard. They said they would, but their religion was out and out show. And it was very impressive when they were at the synagogues. But they did not live it out in their daily lives. How many times have we been personally guilty of that? I raise my hand. I raise both my hands. We claim that Yeshua is Adonai, our Lord. We must do what Yeshua tells us to do. The religious people were the ones who were a problem to Yeshua. Why? Because they're walking in their own self-righteousness. If you're truly honest and transparent, you can join with me today and say, "I've walked down that path with my journey with the Lord. And he's delivered me from that from time to time, as I have allowed him to do that." Continuing here, they were oblivious to the true demands of Abba, Father God's righteousness. They just didn't get it. Have you noticed that as your journey serving the Lord and walking with them? There are times when you just do not get it until the Spirit of the living God gives you further revelation and he shows you that you're walking your own self-righteousness. I have been there and the Lord has delivered me from that. Continuing. When Yeshua asked them about the immersion of Yohanan came from heaven or from a human source, he was really asking them if they thought Yohanan was a true prophet or a false prophet. He wanted them to make it clear before the people. Why? Because Yohanan was a forerunner of Yeshua. They were caught between a proverbial rock and hard place. If they said Yohanan's immersion was from heaven, they would be faced with Yohanan's witness to Yeshua and their failure to respond to Yohanan's preaching. If they said it was from man, they were risking upsetting the crowd, many of whom believed Yeshua and Yohanan were true and from God. So the head kohenim and the elders had the responsibility to know who was and who was not a false prophet. But they shirked their duties before the people. They had the responsibility to protect the people from all false prophets. Their final decision, which was their refusal to answer Yeshua, compromised their own authority in the eyes and the presence of all the people of Israel. That's what was going on here. Yeshua also indirectly asked the head kohenim and elders if they thought that his authority came from heaven or from man. If Yeshua's authority is from heaven, then his messianic claims are true and vital. And just think about this. Even though they reject him at this moment and later, he's handed over to Pontius Pilate to be to be beaten and to be crucified. This is all part of God's plan, all right? Because the nation of Israel had gone so far into the religious observance of legalism and Torah that they forgot about the Messiah. And here the literal Messiah was standing before them. Continuing here. In contrast, the tax collectors and the prostitutes were prepared to change their ways, but the religious leaders were not, even though they had time to change. In the parable of the two sons, it means that those who are not religious, many sometimes respond to God's good news by forgiving and love more readily than those who are self-serving religious people. The truth is this, that even keeping rules can lead us astray. If we end up with the attitude that we're good and we're righteous people and we're pure as the driven snow. Because what washes us, as we sang in the song today? The blood of the Lamb, right? And who is the one given to us to show us when there is error in our heart, soul, and mind and attitude? But the Spirit of the living God who leads us into all truth. Those are the safeguard that God has established for us. So, will we be the son or the daughter who says that he or she obey and does not? Or will we be the son or daughter who turns and changes his or her mind? The parable is an example of saying, actions speak louder than words. Right? I know that we'll be judged by our words, but you know what the world's watching? What our family members who do not know Messiah are watching? What about your actions? That's what is the tipping scale in their hearts and minds to see if the hope of God that is in you is actually motivating you to do all the things that God has asked you to do, or you're just simply doing out of a religious perspective so you can shine before others and say, look how holy I am. Which in God's eyes is this, filthy, stinking rags of self-righteousness. That's why God wants us to put all those things aside and to repent as God sends the Spirit of the living God to lead us into true repentance. Continuing, some of the religious leaders wrongfully thought that they were better than they were. They imagined that they did not need to repent. Okay? How many times have we made commitments to Abba, Father God, only to fail on the follow-through? It's happened to me. I'm being honest and transparent before you. I've learned, and it's very important to be honest and transparent. Amen? How many times have we made promises to Abba, Father, God, or that for one another reason have not kept? And how often do we find ourselves responding to Abba, Father, God when we've already told Abba, Father, God, no? Have you ever done that? I have. And he's let me sit there and dwell on it. Yes. And he said to me, who's Lord in your life? Just as the head kohenim and the elders of Israel were pressed up against the wall, the Lord allowed me never to say, I do not know. Continuing here, what we believe needs to be evident in the way that we live and we relate. There must not be any break between our words and our actions and our trust. We must be able to discern Abba, Father God's voice in those expected and unexpected places. We must not only listen, but be willing to change as we grow into the person and also our corporate trust and faith. Faith in the Messianic community. Shabbat Shalom. Blessed be the name of the Lord.